Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole, here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. And it's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. Start of a new week, of course. Hope you had a good weekend, 5:03 on this Monday morning. And a difficult time, I guess, in sports right now, and some things to react to. And I would feel like it wouldn't be the right thing if I didn't start with the biggest sports news of the day and of all of yesterday as well. And that is, of course, the sudden death of Kobe Bryant and nine people with him in a helicopter crash yesterday, including his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. They were apparently traveling for a basketball game, and I think it's important to name the others who we know whose lives were lost beyond just Kobe Bryant, beyond the name that makes all of the headlines and has made this such a national story, at least the names that we know of right now of Orange Coast College, if I can say that right, baseball coach John Altobelli and his wife Carrie and daughter Alyssa were aboard the helicopter as well, and Gianna and Alyssa were teammates at the Mamba Academy, and another player and a parent are also believed to have been on that helicopter. And that's the part that kind of gets me too about all of this, is all of the young life that's being reported to have been lost in this crash. And it's beyond a basketball legend being lost. And it's important to highlight it was more than just Kobe, of course. And for me, growing up as a Pittsburgh kid, I'm not going to, you know, my story, I guess, or my thoughts on Kobe Bryant aren't going to be as resounding or as maybe heartfelt or as insightful as a lot of other people that you'll hear today and that maybe that you've already heard that are talking about this and talking about the life of Kobe Bryant and all the impacts that he made everywhere. But I don't have much on Kobe beyond watching him from afar growing up in Pittsburgh. And this, but I will say that Kobe was basketball for me growing up. Like, I grew up in the Kobe era, if you will. I remember, you know, before school started, I would wake up early and get a bowl of cereal or get a bagel, you know, for breakfast before school, and I would sit down on the couch and I'd watch two things, SportsCenter and SpongeBob in the mornings. And I would watch SportsCenter to watch the Laker highlights of Shaq and Kobe. I mean, they were the best. They were what I had to look to. They were at the top of the basketball world at that point as I was, you know, going through elementary and middle school. And, you know, I remember watching those highlights and being a fan of them because they were at the top, and it was easy to kind of, you know, gravitate to the people that were the best at that sport, and they were why I was even interested in the NBA and interested in basketball. And so that was the only marking of the NBA for me as, of course, a kid in Pittsburgh. And he certainly, Kobe Bryant, wasn't perfect, and none of us are. The Colorado incident, the sexual assault case in 2003. Honestly, you know, when I look back at Kobe Bryant, I kind of think of him being a major influence for me in just in terms of consuming the NBA as a whole. You know, he kind of got me into it with the height of his era and then also kind of his fall and all the things that happened back in 2003 turned me away from the NBA for a while. And after him and Shaq kind of broke it off in LA, I really didn't stick with the NBA for a while there, and it kind of trailed off. But Kobe was one of the few athletes that was international. You think about the huge following that he had worldwide. You think about the, you know, how big he was in places like China and places that are beyond the United States. And you think of global athletes, there's only really a few. You know, the Michael Jordans, the Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods mostly because of the sport he played and it being mostly played overseas. But Kobe was a sports icon and was basketball for a generation. And I grew up mostly in that generation. He was a worldwide face. He was the people that he was the guy that everybody pretended to be. You know, when you were in the backyard or you were, you know, for me down at Kiwanis playing basketball, everybody pretended to be Kobe Bryant whenever they were playing. I mean, he was that guy for us. And it's, of course, it's, you know, your choice of how you want to react to this. And I know, you know, here in Pittsburgh, we probably, you know, didn't have many close encounters with Kobe Bryant. He didn't mean a whole lot to us. And as far as our sports teams, because he played in a, he played all the way out in California, played in a league that's not here in Pittsburgh. And maybe this doesn't, you know, hit you maybe as hard as other people. But events like this, at least for me, sudden tragic deaths always bring a few things into focus, and that they go beyond sports. The first being, of course, how quickly life can be taken away. And that sounds cliche, but in an event like this, it's true here. You'd never think something this sudden and this tragic could happen to somebody like Kobe. It's almost like when an athlete reaches the heights that he did in his life and the celebrity status that he had, you don't think that things like this can happen to somebody like him. And it goes to show that nobody is above it. Nobody's above their lives being taken away in a flash. And then also, for me at least, and again, you can react to this how you want, and maybe you don't put a whole lot of thought into it beyond just the headline and the story and thinking that it's a sad thing. But for me, it has me thinking, what's after this life and after you short time here on earth? And for me and in my faith, I'm secured in that, and I hope that you find the answer to that as well. Not to get too deep here with it, but just reaction. I'm sure you'll hear a lot of reaction on the death of Kobe Bryant today throughout the day, and I felt like it would have been a disservice not to start the show with that, all of that today. Coming up next, more reaction to this, as a lot of people have already given their thoughts on Kobe Bryant and the legacy that he leaves, and also just some different things from over the weekend, and I'll finish up with some Pirate thoughts from Pirate Fest this weekend as well. That's all coming up on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. The time is 5:14, and it's brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. This is the Early Morning Show, and just continuing to react to what's going to be the dominating story in sports today, and just more reaction to it, the sudden and tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and many others that were, nine others actually, that were on that helicopter, among nine they were, and continuing to just kind of react to the fallout of it and some more here, not necessarily while you were sleeping, but we're going to do it here in this segment.
Time now for While Yinz Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Another Laker legend, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, talking about Kobe Bryant here and the legacy that he leaves.
It's very difficult for me to put in words how I feel about the loss of Kobe Bryant. As a young boy, I met him when he was 11 or 12 years old. I was friends with his dad, Joe. We were former adversaries. Joe played for the 76ers. But he was a good friend and someone that I shared a friendship. And it's hard for me to understand now how this is affecting Joe and his wife. So to Kobe's family, I want to send my most sincere and heartfelt regrets and prayers. And my thoughts are with you guys. Kobe was an incredible family man. He loved his wife and daughters. He was an incredible athlete. And a leader in a lot of ways. He inspired a whole generation of young athletes. he was one of the first ones to leave high school and come to the NBA and do so well, dominating the game and becoming one of the best scorers that the Los Angeles Lakers has ever seen. I had the privilege of being there when he scored his 81-point game, and it was something that I will always remember as one of the highlights of the things that I have learned and observed in sports. Kobe, my thoughts are with you. Absolutely. Rest in peace, young man. This loss is, it's just hard to comprehend. Go with God.
I think one thing to touch on, too, is we could see throughout the career, maybe the life of Kobe Bryant, is that, like I said earlier, he wasn't perfect. I think a lot of, especially earlier on in his career, I mean, he went into the NBA at 17, so there was a lot for him to learn about life, even whenever he came onto the national spotlight. And, you know, he made his, you know, there's allegations around him, of course, but I think we saw him kind of mature and take on more of a leadership role as his career went on, and I think he kind of settled things down and became a leader to a lot of different people, and so you'll hear a lot of different stories about that throughout the day today. And kind of a weird transition here, there's no other way to really do it, but to kind of recap the things that happened this weekend and the other things that are going on in the sports world in a time where it's kind of slow otherwise, and that is the Pro Bowl, and that happened yesterday. And there was a Pittsburgh Steeler, many Pittsburgh Steelers that were involved in that game, but one who made a particularly splash play, and that was one TJ Watt, who showed up at the very end of that Pro Bowl to make this play and this call from ESPN.
Fourth and goal. NFC looking for the lead here in the fourth quarter. Ball is out as Campbell crashed home, and it's picked up by TJ Watt. And TJ Watt striding the other way to return this for a score. And then pointing back at Kirk Cousins as the entire AFC team is joining him in the end zone. And then TJ Watt, what an incredible year for TJ Watt.
You know, we mentioned Defensive Player of the Year candidates. And I didn't mention him. His name deserves to be in there, along with Stephon Gilmore and Chandler Jones and Shaq Barrett.
And Joe Tessitore and, of course, the great Booger McFarland on the call for ESPN at the Pro Bowl there. And, he made one of the biggest plays, TJ Watt, in the Pro Bowl. Say what you will about it and just it as a game. But that's a collection of some of the best players in the game, and he shined in it there as well. And I think he's turning into everything that you wanted him to as a Steelers fan, did he not? I mean, he's a clone, becoming a clone of his brother JJ, who was, you know, at his best, one of the most disruptive players in the league. And you can see the clear ascension for TJ Watt, that he's getting to that point. He's catching up to JJ Watt level play. We saw that this past season, and he is, you know, you start to think about his future as a Steeler. And Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette kind of laid out a couple days ago what the future might hold for him money-wise and what the Steelers will have to kind of buck up to keep him around. He's scheduled to make just a shade under $3 million this next season. And then the fifth-year option on his rookie contract in 2021 would likely be between $10 and $11 million, although that number could change with the new collective bargaining agreement if it's reached before then. Then you look at some of the guys around the league that play his position that are make similar impacts. Khalil Mack, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, all make more than $20 million a year. And then there are five others, including Von Miller and Cameron Jordan, that all make $17 million per season. So those are the kinds of numbers that you're looking at if you want to keep TJ Watt around. And at this point, you got to pay the guy, right? I mean, he looks to be a game changer on a national stage in front of, you know, with a lot of people that are the best at their position as well. And you can, again, say what you want about the Pro Bowl, but he makes another big play there. He is one of the best players in the league. There's no doubting that. He established himself as that this past season. And so it'll be really interesting to see what the Steelers are willing to do to keep him around. And I think, you know, 17, 20 million a year, whatever you got to do to keep this guy around, because he could be, you know, he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year this year, and I would be willing to bet if he stays healthy, he's going to win at least one of those during his career. He certainly seems like he's on that path. All right, coming up next, Pirates Fest this weekend. What did we learn? What did they say? A couple of things stuck out to me from this weekend, and I'll go over some of those things next here on the Early Morning Show. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. I'm Matt Cole. This is the Early Morning Show, the Fan Morning Show on the way after this, after the pre-show at 5:40. 8:27 today, head coach Jeff Capel joins the show. 8:27, of course, of the Pitt Panthers, who lost to Syracuse over the weekend. They've got a big game against Duke coming up on Tuesday, so be looking out for coach joining the show at 8:27 today. Pirate Fest this weekend and this past weekend, and I don't know a whole lot about what we learned about the Pirates or if they changed public perception of this team heading into 2020. And I'm also not sure of what they could have said or done to change the perception at this point without any roster moves being changed. I think that's kind of what we've come down to, at least I think from fans, those show me something here. It's not words are words, show me something. And we heard a lot of the same things that we've heard really all this offseason, that this is a different group. Things are going to be different. Things are going to be streamlined. The communication is going to be more streamlined. And they're still evaluating this roster. That's kind of been the persistent message here so far. But a couple of things were said that I want to pull out from this weekend. And the first being from the Pirates owner, Bob Nutting, who talked about payroll. And that's the kind of the issue that everybody wants to hear, right? That is, you know, whenever you hear Bob Nutting speak, that's the issue that you want to be brought up with this team. And so this quote was very interesting to me. And great reporting by Jason Mackey and Tobias Wilborn of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for these quotes. This is where I'm getting all of this information from. I mean, we have audio, but the quotes here, I think, hit a little bit better. Quote here, "It's a core issue and one we're spending time working on," Nutting said. What we want to make sure is when we have an opportunity to really put the foot on the gas, we're able to do it. I think it's important that we don't rush. Some of the worst decisions that lots of teams, not just the Pirates, have made have been trying to rush, trying to accelerate, not taking time to do full due diligence, and not taking time to really evaluate where we are. Now, all of these things are just words, of course. And, you know, of course, words without actions don't really mean much. But I think here, and going back to the quote about we have an opportunity to really put the foot on the gas, that we're able to do it. Doesn't that strike a nerve with you? Going back to the years in which the Pirates were a winning team, getting into the postseason, 13, 14, 15, the opportunity there, and a lot of the criticism for the ownership group and for the front office that just left town with Huntington and Frank Coonley, of that opportunity being there after the 15 season to continue to put the foot on the gas and add to that team going, you know, into the 16 season, and how they didn't do that, how they missed that opportunity. Here's at least some recognition I see from Bob Nutting in saying this. Now, again, just words. I am fully understanding of that, and I am on board with that. If the words aren't backed up by actions, then they're just lost forever. But at least there's a recognition there that there's been opportunities in the past to put the foot on the gas. They didn't do it. He didn't come out and say that, but making sure that they're able to do it if that opportunity arises once again. And we know that with a small market team like the Pirates, that's exactly how you're going to sustain success, is taking advantage of the opportunities when they come back around, hopefully more than just every 20 years. But when the opportunity comes back around again to add to a winning team, to make a push toward the World Series, in the limited times that you have that opportunity, that you go ahead and do it. Also from Bob Nutting, and I think these quotes are just really damning on the front office that just left. Here's a quote. "I'm not sure we know how good every one of our players can be. We absolutely have challenges in our development system in terms of processes. We absolutely have challenges at the major league level in terms of information and ways we communicated with players. We don't know how good our players are right now. I think we need to give Derek and Ben Charrington, Derek Shelton, our analytics team and our coaching staff a chance to see what we can bring out of our players, not only at the major league level, but at AAA too. My gosh! Basically saying that we have had no idea what's gone on with this organization over the last, two, three, four, 5 years now, where we have had so many struggles about evaluating our team, our players, our talent, that we're in a spot right now, we have no idea. We have no idea what we have. And just shows the incredible incompetency of Neil Huntington and whoever else was in that front office making those decisions, evaluating the talent, and has left them at just a complete loss as to where this organization is. Now, I know there's new guys coming in, and that's probably part of the evaluation process. But just as an organization for the guys, not everybody left. There's still holdovers. There's still the same players on the roster, and the fact that you have no idea what you've gotten in these guys after Neil Huntington leaves, that just incredibly, incredibly eye-opening from Bob Nutting, I think. And more just a kind of a story from Pirates Fest was, and one that I was interested at least, the player thoughts on the Astros cheating, and particularly with the players that were in the organization around that time. And I think of Joe Musgrove, and he came out with a quote from Pirates Fest saying, "Whatever you guys see in the reports and whatever's been put out, that's pretty much the extent of what I knew, even more so some stuff I had no idea was going on, if it was going on." And that's, I guess, what you would expect from Joe Musgrove playing. You know, we'll never know how much he actually knew, but that's the right thing to say, of course, publicly about all of those things. Interesting that Josh Bell said this about it. He said, quote, "I know the overall conversation we've had, at least with our team, is if you've had to choose between cheating and steroids and cheating with knowing what pitches are coming for half of the games of the year, I think that cheating with knowing what's coming in half the games of the year is worse." Whatever that's worth. Josh Bell saying that this is worse than steroids. I know that made a couple of headlines. And I think that's kind of, there's a lot of other players that I've seen that have taken that stance as well. I mean, cheating is cheating. I don't know if we're going to compare the levels of cheating here, but regardless, that's what Josh Bell said. And then another one from Jacob Stallings on the future of cheating, whether this will deter players in the future from cheating via electronics. And Stallings says, you know, "I don't really know. They're still World Series champions. I don't have all the specifics that the commissioner's office has, but if you win a World Series, was it worth it in the end?" And that's the crux, isn't it? That, you know, even though they got caught, they still went through the experience of winning the World Series. Things that, yes, you can kind of strip away the title if you want, but what does that really do? The fan base already experienced it. The players already experienced it. They know that they won that World Series. So was it worth it in the end, even if he got caught with the cheating? And maybe that's why we'll always see things like this happen, no matter what is handed down from here, from Major League Baseball and all the punishments and all the fallout from it. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show and going back to the sudden and tragic death of Kobe Bryant, a question that stems off of that. You hear a lot of people saying that Kobe was the athlete of his generation. Who's the athlete that you would say defines your sports generation? Who's that one guy that you grew up with, or maybe that got you into sports, that you watched whenever you were in your formative years? Who's that guy that's the athlete that defines your sports generation? Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Drive the car or truck of your dreams with great deals all month. Today, morning flurries, cloudy, and a high of 38. And then tonight, cloudy with a few flurries as well, and a low of 30. Pre-show is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.